right, if the rest of us will take our Bibles and go to Joshua chapter 1, you should have already received your new handout for this lesson. This lesson is entitled Joshua. It's based on Joshua, Grace to Go On. Again, we're looking at the portraits of grace, just God's grace in different lives of people and how God's grace helped his people at different times in their life. And we're looking at Joshua today and next week, maybe a third week. Depends on how far we get along each Sunday. But looking in the life of Joshua, Joshua obviously being the next leader for Israel after Moses, and just how God's grace helped him to be able to accomplish what God had chosen him and called him to do. So in Joshua chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now imagine yourself being a general in the middle of a crucial battle. Your troops are exhausted, supplies are running low, the enemy is fast advancing. You're starting to doubt if you can successfully move ahead. Worry creeps in, and you're tempted to surrender. Now sometimes we find ourselves in that very position in the Christian life. We get trapped in the middle of a battle between the flesh and the spirit. While God is directing us to fulfill his calling on our lives, we don't know how we're going to move forward. We even begin to doubt why God brought us to the place where we are to begin, or where we are, and we sense ourselves growing weary, doubtful, and discouraged. Now, the first chapter of Joshua records a pivotal point in Israel's history. Obviously, their first leader, Moses, who brought them out of Egypt, who showed great signs by the power of God in Egypt, the ten plagues. Because every time that God would have Moses obviously stretch out that rod, God caused those 10 plagues to come upon Egypt. And the people followed Moses as he followed God out of Egypt, out of slavery. And they followed him for quite a while. And now he's gone, so now the next leader is coming up. And guess what? The people have to learn how to follow Joshua as he follows the Lord. And Joshua, obviously God, we already see, we know this, that God has to encourage Joshua in what God's calling him to do. Now I want us to try to think about what God's called each of us to do. Obviously we're looking at Joshua, who was called to lead the nation of Israel, you know, for a time. And God may not have called each of us to lead people or to be, you know, a missionary, anything like that, but there is a calling placed upon every believer's life by God. God has a purpose. God has a calling for every single one of his children, and it's different from somebody else. But thinking about Joshua, obviously leading the people of Israel, And before he became the leader of the nation like Moses, obviously he led God's people into battles. He was the general, you could say, for the people that would go into battle at different times under the leadership of Moses. Now, reminding ourselves this morning of George Washington, during the American Revolution, in August of 1776, Washington and his 8,000 troops were fighting on Long Island against General Howe with an army of 32,000 men. Now, right there, you know the odds are stacked against Washington, right? He only has 8,000 men. General Howe obviously has 32,000 men. You know, that's the way sometimes the Christian life is. The odds are always stacked against us. Because you know what? If we always had the upper hand, if we always had the ability within ourselves to defeat whatever we were facing, God would never get the glory. God would never get the praise. So, I mean, just as I read that and think about just the odds being stacked, it's like you already know the outcome of this. If you know history, you know what's about to happen with George Washington being trapped on Long Island. God's the one that obviously gives them the victory by helping them to escape the enemy. And not only that, I mean, I'll keep reading, but again, it was last week we celebrated the 4th of July. We celebrated the independence of our country. When you look at history, true history, not history that's rewritten and being promoted in public schools that are not correct, but when you read the true history of the beginning of our nation, you can see where God is in it. And God is helping even people like George Washington to win battles. And he will always help his people to win battles if we will trust him, if we will follow him. And again, even as the next service, it'll be more of this as well, just the fact that God works in the lives of his people. And as we follow and trust him, God does give us victories. But again, thinking about George Washington on this day, he had his 8,000 men. General Howe had his 32,000 men. And General Howe had Washington's army cut off from escape. Absolutely no escape whatsoever. But God always makes a way, doesn't he? God always makes a way. Now, Washington could not fight, but to surrender would mean the end of the war. The only hope was to escape by boat across a mile stretch of the East River to Manhattan in northern New York. Washington was able to successfully move all his men safely across the river by several miraculous events that God providentially orchestrated. I mean, again, when you just read the history of just the founding of our nation, just how God was involved. And God is involved in the lives of his people. He's involved in the activities of this world. Just, again, three of these miraculous events that happened for George Washington and his men. Again, just thinking, sometimes the devil wants us to think we're cut off. We're cut off from escape. We're cut off from victory. And God always said that he will always give us a way out. He will always help us in time of need while we're trusting him and following him. But the devil always wants us to look at the impossible and look at the fact, you know, that there's no way of escape. The devil has the upper hand. I might as well just surrender. And a lot of people do surrender. And what I mean by surrender, a lot of people quit church. A lot of people quit reading their Bible. They quit trusting in God because the devil has convinced them that they've lost. But listen, we follow an eternal general. We follow Jesus Christ, who obviously has all power. He will never be defeated. I mean, if he could not be defeated at the cross and in the tomb, he's not going to be defeated any other time. But sometimes the devil convinces some of God's people that they've lost, and you might as well just give up. With General Washington here being cut off from what seemed like escape, I mean, basically he's got a river behind him a mile wide. He's got this advancing enemy army in front of him. It kind of sounds, or you could say behind him. You know, he's facing this mile wide river. The enemy's behind him. Kind of reminds you of who? Well, the other people were kind of cut off, had a river in front of them and the armies of the enemy behind them. Moses crossing the Red Sea, right? I mean, completely trapped. I mean, they had mountains on either side, the Red Sea in front of them, the Egyptian army behind them. It kind of seemed like, you know what, they were trapped. They were going to get hauled back to slavery. But God intervened, didn't he? Just as he intervened for George Washington. A storm for the first 24 hours preventing British ships from blocking the evacuation route. Two, the calming waters at night to allow extra weight to be added to the boat so they could put more men in the boats to cross over. And in the morning time, when the remaining regiments were not removed, still on the other side, a thick fog came over the American and over the British camps, and it allowed the rest of them to escape. I mean, you know, and there's this famous portrait, you know, of George Washington in the boat, you know, crossing this river in the fog. But you think about, I mean, just how God orchestrated their escape. First, a 24-hour storm to keep the British ships basically at bay, where they would not come in and block the escape route. And then at night, the water became calm, the river became calm, so they could put more men in these boats to cross over. And it took several trips, because then by morning time, they still had American troops, I'll say, on the wrong side of the river. And yet God caused a fog to overshadow both camps, and George Washington and the other men were able to escape. I mean, just the fact that God knows exactly how to give us victory. And George Washington was a man who was a man of prayer. He was a man that trusted the Lord. And you just think, you know, how God comes through. When does God not give us victory? Man, I want you to answer it. When does God not give us victory? I'm sorry, say it again. When we do things on our own, which would entail not trusting God, not praying, right? So God can give us victory all the time, but when we don't see victory, it's probably because we're not trusting God. We're doing it our own way. I mean, again, when you look back at Joshua at the beginning of his leadership and God speaking to Joshua and basically calling him and saying, okay, you're the next leader, and I do not want you to be afraid. I want you to be courageous. I want you to allow my word to remain in your heart. Don't let it depart out of your mouth. But trust in my word. Trust in my leadership as I lead you and as you lead the people of Israel. Again, God will always give us a way of escape. God's not going to lead you to a place where you feel trapped and just leave you there. Again, when you think about the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, they were led to the Red Sea. They were following the pillar of cloud by night or by day and the pillar of fire by night. God's the one that led them to what seemed like a trap, to where the Red Sea was in front of them. The mountains were on either side. There was no way to escape. The Egyptian army is advancing them from behind. Sometimes God will do that because he wants to show his power in our life. He wants us to see victory through him. And when you think about even the children of Israel when they're trapped at the Red Sea, they started complaining. They were afraid. And yet God had to tell Moses to hold on. Well, I don't want you to open up a page. God had to tell Moses to stretch out that rod over the Red Sea. And I mean, I can just imagine when all the people saw the Red Sea part. I mean, I can just imagine they were excited, but then maybe a little timid, a little cautious, because like, okay, sure, the water's back, but obviously the ground's going to be muddy, right? But God caused it to be dry. All right. So number one in your notes, remembering God's calling, all right? Again, God has a calling upon your life. It may not be to a specific, you know, church position. It may not be to a specific mission field around the world, but you are in a mission field. Our mission field is right where we're at. But God has a calling in your life. And above anything, obviously God has a calling on Joshua's life to be a leader, but he has a calling on our life to be a follower, to follow the leader, to follow Jesus Christ, and to allow God to be in control of our life and us to every day put God first, all right? And we're called to be, I mean, when Jesus walked by each disciple, he would walk by and he would say, follow me. And that's all he would say. To like Matthew, I mean, sitting there at the seat of customs, follow me. Jeez, he just kept walking. And Matthew had to make that decision. Do I follow him or do I not? The Bible records that he left everything and got up and he followed. So we all have a calling, and that calling is to follow the Lord. And Joshua had to follow the Lord as well in order to be a good leader for God's people. So the devil will always try to convince you that somehow you're mistaken about what God wants us to do. When those doubts come, we must refuse to allow ourselves to meditate on them. And look, that word meditate means to think, means to dwell. Don't ever allow yourself to dwell on the negativeness. Don't allow yourself to dwell on what seems impossible. Again, when you think about the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, when they came to the promised land the first time, they came to the borders, they sent in the spies, they sent the 12 spies in, they all came back, they all had their reports, but obviously you had the 10 spies that had their evil report. And it caused all the people not to trust God, so for they were not going to go in the promised land because they were meditating, they were dwelling on, they were thinking about what the 10 men said about the giants instead of what the two faithful witnesses said about God giving us this land. And God was going to give them that land. But all the people that believed the evil report sat there and they thought about the giants because the Bible records where they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Okay, that's true. Because you know what? In the sight of those giants, they were like grasshoppers. But the giants were like ants, specks, in the sight of God, who's much bigger. So, I mean, remembering our calling that, you know, we've been called into God's family, and we have, obviously, the greatest general on our side leading us, and we've always got to allow ourselves to meditate, think upon, dwell on the truth. And the truth is that God gives us victory in difficult times. God will always, he'll always want us to do something when it seems impossible. Because I mean, you think about just even Joshua being called to be the next leader. Moses has passed on. Everyone has come to follow Moses. You had some... excuse me, you've had some that would sit there. Do you have a water? You always have some that want to buck up against the system. You always have some that will rise up against the leadership that's following the direction of God and say, as they said to Moses, you take too much upon yourself. God speaks to us too. And Joshua, obviously being the next leader at the time, the people have come to trust Moses, to follow Moses, as they've watched Moses follow the Lord. And they've seen God move through Moses and work through Moses. But now it's Joshua's turn, and it's a difficult time because when a new leader needs to come in, sometimes it's hard for people to move on. It's hard for people to move past what they've known for so long. I mean, that's just human nature. We just don't like change. Once we get used to something, get used to the way things are going, we don't like change. Sometimes we buck up against that. And we all can be like that at times because we get to a place where we're comfortable. I mean, I mean, it's just like when you go to a new job and you got to get used to the new bosses, the new environment, the new way of doing things. And it's just like, you know, at first you're like, man, you dread doing it. You dread going. But then you kind of get used to the routine. Once you get used to the routine, everything seems okay until that routine gets upset and gets completely changed. But when we remember God's calling, despite the fact that God has an amazing plan for each of us, we will still endure hardships because obviously God wants to show himself great and mighty through those hardships. But as far as a difficult time in letter A, it says in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, and that was a difficult time for the nation of Israel. Again, because they saw Moses come into Egypt. You know, they heard Moses speaking against Pharaoh. They saw the plagues, all these things being led out, and seeing God even speak on the behalf of Moses and defend Moses. And now it's a difficult time for them to have to switch gears and to switch leadership. Yet Joshua was called to be the new leader of the Israelites after the death of Moses. Moses had been the leader for the past 40 years. And during Moses' life, God had spoken to him through a burning bush. God had used him to bring the 10 plagues to Egypt and deliverance to Israel. And God gave him the 10 commandments and the law. Because look in your notes in Exodus 34. I mean, just all the things that God did in Moses' life, that all the people were aware of. In Exodus 34, 28, and he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights there on Mount Sinai. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. Isn't that amazing? 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai, not eating any food, not drinking any water. That's because he was in the presence of God. God was sustaining him. God was helping him because God was fellowshipping, spending time with Moses and obviously giving him everything they needed, the commandments, the blueprint for the tabernacle, all that stuff. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. So you just think about just what God was doing in Moses' life, how people saw all of this that God did with Moses. And Joshua had seen God use Moses in incredible ways. All right, imagine how Joshua must have felt as he prepared to fill Moses' shoes. I mean, Joshua was obviously, he was a servant to, a minister to Moses. He was always there. He was always there helping Moses, wanted to be with Moses as Moses was with God. And now he's been given this great responsibility. He might be thinking himself of everything that God did in Moses' life and might be thinking, you know what, if God doesn't do that for me, there's no way I can fulfill God's call in my life. But obviously Joshua was not called to lead the children of Israel out of slavery. Joshua was not called to go into Egypt and show the 10 plagues and all the things that Moses did. Joshua has been called for a different reason. He's going to lead the people into Israel. And he's going to lead them against the promised land to wipe out all the inhabitants of the promised land according to God's plan and God's will. That's why it's important that we never sit there and compare ourselves among somebody else and think, well, if I was like them or if I had their abilities or if God did this for me like he did for them. Again, all of us have our specific calling. God is using us and wants to use each of us in different ways, not all the same ways. Joshua was not called to be like Moses. And you're not called to be like somebody else. We're all called to be who God wants us to be and how God wants to use us. Now, God wants us to be grateful for the past, you know, past people that have done great things for the Lord. But he doesn't want us to live in it. Doesn't want us to live in the past or in the moments of the past where we saw great things. Now, whether our past holds victory or defeat, we cannot let it determine our future. We must not allow past defeats to keep us in defeated mindset. And we must not allow past victories to convince us that we no longer have to work for success. So, I mean, you've got the trap of the two mindsets. One mindset of one person, they're living in the past failures, which is keeping them from going forward and trusting God and doing what God wants them to do. And then the other mindset are people that are living in past victories, thinking, well, you know what? We've had the victory. That's good. You know what? There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to allow God to do in our life. And obviously, both are wrong. There are past victories and there's past failures, but God wants us to focus on the future and moving forward. Again, when you think about Joshua, Joshua could sit there. Yeah, we don't know everything that Joshua is thinking. We just see a glimpse of what's going on this day, and maybe the thoughts are running through his mind 40 years prior where nobody wanted to go in except him and Caleb. None of the adults at that time wanted to go in. And the devil could be trying to plant that same thought of, you know what, no one's going to want to follow you in this time. Because the devil always wants to. When God places a call, when God wants you to do something, the devil's always going to be quick to be right there to sit there and, oh, you can't do it. Why, God would not be asking you to do this. No one's going to follow you. Because just as much as God wants to bring victory in our life, well, the devil wants us to think that we've already been defeated. He wants us to think about past failures or think about past victories. Whatever will keep us from moving forward for God and keep us from trusting God, or our enemy is going to, he's going to try it. Either way, he's going to try to keep us from moving forward and trusting God and doing what God's called us to do. Look at in your notes in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 there. The Bible says, brethren, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And truly, that's what we have to do every day as we follow God is, you know what? I failed yesterday. Forget it. Confess the failure to God and then move on. Keep following the Lord. Because we're told to look unto the author and finisher of our faith. And as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. And what is before? We don't know the future, but we know what's before us is Jesus Christ, that he wants us to keep moving forward. And as Paul even says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Setting our focus on the one who never fails, the one who will never lead us astray, the one who will always lead us in the direction he wants us to go. And again, you really have to allow God to speak to your heart in this situation because, again, you may never be called to be in a leadership position in a church or on a mission field. But if you are a husband or father, you've been called to leadership. You've got a family to lead. And God has his way of that playing out. He has his way where he wants us as men to lead. And wives and mothers have been called as well. And we have to find out, you know, God, what is it you want me to do in my life, the life that you've given me? Again, Joshua being called by the Lord, Joshua being given a specific duty by the Lord. And again, like I said before, we've all been called to be followers of Christ. Are we faithfully following the Lord every day? Are we faithfully allowing God to work in our life according to his will? And are we faithfully following what he calls us to do and relying on him and trusting him? Because Joshua is going to do just that. He will follow the Lord, But then that temptation comes where he's tempted to trust what he sees and not ask God for direction. And that's when the people come to him pretending to be from a faraway country. And they have on the ratty clothes and they bring broken bottles of wine and they bring moldy bread and they pretend like they've been traveling for months just to get to Joshua. And Joshua just looks at them and says, I trust. Instead of asking God, right? And you know the account. What happens? It gets them in trouble because they weren't from a far country. They were actually enemies of God that were to be destroyed. God wanted them to wipe out all the enemies of God in the promised land. But because Joshua gets to that point where he thinks, you know what? I can make this decision without God. And it was a wrong decision. And it cost the nation of Israel great turmoil because of that wrong decision. Just because it looks okay, we still have to ask God. Because we're still human, we can be deceived very easily. We can still be deceived very easily. Letter B, Joshua had to be a dedicated man, and we have to be dedicated people as well. Look at Joshua 1:1 again. The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Now God chose a person to lead the Israelites, not a machine or a committee. When God wants to move his agenda forward, he calls out men and women who will be faithful servants of his. Look at Psalm 75 there in your notes. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is entirely in control of who is put in a position and who is removed from a position. And that's something we have to remind ourselves as well, that even though we see seemingly unfair and evil things happening in this world and even in our nation, God's still in control. It's not all of a sudden God's out of control and his hands are tied behind his back and he can't, you know, put who we think is the right person into office. God's still in control. God will always be in control, but we know that God has a plan and God has a perfect will. And I'm glad that at the end of his will, we can look at the book of Revelation and see how it all ends up. God ends up being the victor. Jesus Christ ends up winning because he is the victor. He's the one that is going to win the battle against our adversary, the devil, and his army. But we still have to be dedicated to follow the Lord, trusting the Lord. And again, God's the one that calls Joshua and promotes Joshua to that leadership position. But why did God choose Joshua? There were hundreds of thousands of men for God to choose from in among his people. But what made Joshua a godly leader? Because God will always choose a godly person to lead his people. Joshua had been quietly, unknowingly preparing to be a leader long before Moses' death. He was dedicated to doing the Lord's work. In Exodus 17, it tells us that Joshua had already been used by God to defeat the Amalekites. He had been a faithful soldier in the army of God, even leading the army into battle and into victory. And this is the key. God calls believers who are already serving him, already trusting him, already following him. That's the key. If we want God to do things in our life, we have to already be faithfully following him, faithfully trusting him, even through the moments of where it seems like nothing's happening, where it seems like it's just spiritual battle after spiritual battle after spiritual battle. God will call those and God will use those who are already faithfully serving, faithfully trusting, and faithfully following him. But just there seems to be a generation who doesn't want to do the work, doesn't want to put in the effort. And I see that in my workplace where We're like, even yesterday, we had 70, to start off with, we had 71 people show up for work, where it should have been 30 more people. I mean, even during the week, the highest is 94, and we used to have well over 150 showing up. It just seems like people just don't want to work. They want the benefits without working. And you'll even have those in the workplace that are there, but they're not working. They're not putting in the time. They're not helping out. They're just there to collect a paycheck. And we even had this past week, a new person should have been in a truck scanning, unloading, and they were caught just kind of sitting there, slowly scanning packages as they went by, not really working. But see, God will always choose the ones and use the ones who are already faithfully serving, faithfully trusting, faithfully following. And we can see the blessings of God in our life as we faithfully serve Him and follow. Now, again, you never see God calling men or women who are idle. This is why God chose Joshua. He was already serving. He was already being a helper to Moses. He was already really being a leader to Israel as he would encourage the men as they would go into battle. But some examples here. Excuse me. Noah was walking with God when God called him to save his generation. Joseph was serving as a steward when God called him to become a leader in Egypt to save God's people. Moses was tending to the flocks of his father-in-law when God called him. David was a shepherd boy when God called him to be the king of Israel. Elisha was plowing in the field when Elijah came by and threw his mantle on him because God had chosen him to be the successor to Elijah. Peter, James, and John were fishing when God called them to be fishers of men. Saul and Barnabas were serving at the church of Antioch when the Holy Ghost separated them for a special work. And Joshua had already been proven by God when he went into Canaan land the first time. Numbers 14, verse 8 there in our notes. If the Lord delight in us, Joshua says, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I mean, Joshua's already kind of being like a leader, leading people into trusting God, leading people into following God and not allowing fear. You know, don't allow fear to creep in and take control of your heart. God's given us this land. In fact, he says the defense of the people of the land, it's departed. It's departed because God is in control and God already said he was going to give the land to them. So, again, it's being a leader is not just, you know, okay, you know, follow me, you know, do what I say. It's more so leading people into following the Lord and trusting the Lord, being that example, being the one who has the spirit that you really do trust the Lord and that every aspect of your life is to follow the Lord even when you know it's difficult, even when you know that I don't see how this is going to play out. I don't know how this is going to end. In fact, part of me kind of has some unbelief, but you know what? I'm going to trust the part that believes Christ. I mean, that was the Father who told Jesus, I believe, but help mine unbelief. It's being honest with the Lord, but still trusting the Lord and still following the Lord. Now, in Joshua chapter 1, God could have called Joshua the general of the nation's armies, but he chose to call him Moses' minister. The measure of a man's greatness is not how many people serve him, but how many he serves. Again, the measure of a man's greatness is not how many people serve him, but how many he serves. And that's true for us. It's not, you know, how many people serve us, how many people do we serve? Because it's like that acronym, Jesus, others, yourself, joy. To have true joy is to serve Jesus, then others, then ourselves, putting ourselves last. God looks for men who are humbly doing their part in service, and this is why God could use Joshua. He did whatever Moses needed him to do, and a true servant's heart is willing to serve in whatever areas God opens. Whatever areas that God opens, being willing to serve in those areas. Look at Matthew 23. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Because remember, in this chapter, the disciples were arguing among themselves who was going to be the greatest. Who was going to be the greatest? then you had the sons of thunder there, whose mother came and asked Jesus, you know, will you let my son sit on either side of your throne? And they're having this argument among themselves. And Jesus responds, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now through the difficult transition in Israel's history, God did call a dedicated man, a willing man who had faith and was a servant. And God noticed Joshua and used him for a directed purpose. Again, if God looks upon us and sees that we're already faithfully serving in some capacity, faithfully following Him, faithfully trusting Him, then guess what? When there's something that God wants to accomplish, He's looking for faithful men and women who are already serving Him, already following Him, already being an example of the believers, and He'll use that person. He will call that person to do exactly what He wants to be done because He knows He can trust that person. He knows that He can use that person. He knows that person will rely upon Him. And truly, the greatness of any leader is his ability or her ability to rely on the leadership of God. Now, there are many men and women who try to do things in their own wisdom, their own strength, and it seems to be working out. And people look at them and, wow, you know, they're so wise and they're so organized, but at some point they fall apart because you can't keep it up very long without really God's ability and God's strength working in our life. But obviously, God chose Moses based on Moses' faithfulness already, Joshua's faithfulness and Joshua's dedication to the Lord, and God chose him for a purpose. I don't know about you, but I like it when God uses me. I like it when God even thinks of me to use me in any way. I guarantee you, I'm not better than anybody else. I'm not more educated than anybody else, but the fact that God would even, again, pick any of us to use us in any capacity for the furtherance of His kingdom. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God, who can, right? Because, I mean, you think about parents, you think about anybody trying to teach somebody else how to do a job. If you've ever tried teaching a younger person how to do something, you might have felt some frustration because they weren't doing it the way you wanted it done. And you sit there and maybe you say, never mind, I'll do it. Because sometimes it's hard to sit back and teach someone and let them do it. But you know what? God gives us that ability to be able to do it. If God calls us to it, He will definitely give us the ability. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Obviously, God called Joshua for a specific purpose. Anyway, think about this. As parents, you've been called, if you're raising children, you've been called for the purpose of raising your children for the Lord. I mean, every day, and you go back to Deuteronomy, and it talks about, you know, as we sit down, as we rise up, as we walk, I mean, every day being the opportunity to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to raise them to serve God, teaching them at a young age to trust God, to follow God, to serve God with their life, because God has a purpose. He has a directed purpose for each of us. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. So a directed purpose is God tells them exactly, you're going to lead this people over the Jordan River into the promised land. And God gave Joshua his marching orders, take the promised land. God also has given us marching orders as well. In Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. That's the marching orders that he's given us, faithfully following him in his purpose for our lives while we're here. That's our purpose. Now, our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, has ordered us to spread the gospel. Now, to be obedient to the Lord, we must never stop sharing the truth that Jesus saves. You know, even as I was, I say, Catholics are probably some of the hardest ones to witness to. Because if you ask them, have you ever received Jesus Christ? They'll say yes. Because they're taught that when they take the sacrament, they are receiving Jesus Christ. So they are told a lie that you're saved because you have received Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we're witnessing to different people, and if you know someone's Catholic, obviously, you got to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to know exactly what to say so they will understand as the Holy Spirit draws them that they're truly not saved. Because the Bible never says, if you receive Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I bring it up because, again, that is our marching orders. That's the great commission from the Lord for us, is we do have a purpose. He has called us to be witnesses. He has called us to share the gospel with others, to help others to see Christ in us. He has called us, obviously, in different ways. And again, if you're a father, grandfather, a mother, grandmother, husband, wife, you know, we've all been called. We all have different hats we wear at times, but we've all been called, obviously, to fulfill the Great Commission right where we're at and as a church around the world. But God gave Joshua a clear calling, and he obeyed that calling. And the question is, are we fulfilling our calling to reach our world for Christ? If we obey our marching orders, we will see God miraculously demonstrate his grace in every aspect of our lives. Again, when you think about just Joshua being called. Now, whether or not Joshua even knew that he would be chosen to be the next leader, it's unclear. I kind of think Joshua was a very humble man, that he probably didn't think he was worthy to be the next leader. And was probably, you know, wondering, you know, who is God going to pick? You know, but that's exactly how God operates, is that he picks those who are already faithfully serving, faithfully following, and faithfully trusting. We can't allow other people who aren't being faithful to keep us from being faithful. We can't allow others who have decided to stop following, because again, Joshua and Caleb, though they had the 10 spies with their negative report, yet they still trusted. And they still tried to tell the people, hey, God's given us the victory. The people in the promised land, they're already defeated because we have God. And no one can fight against God. Nobody can win. Yet, you know, we have an adversary that gets into the minds and wants people to think that they've lost and think that they can't be used by God. You know, I am glad that anybody who's born again can be used by God. God may not put him in certain, I'll say, positions. For instance, someone who is covered with tattoos from head to foot, God's probably not going to put him in a pastor position. Now, he may call them obviously to go street preaching, you know, or something. But just not everybody God will use in those different positions. But God calls everybody, obviously, to follow, to serve, and to be a witness. And again, I'm glad that there's not a single person that cannot be used by God. The question is, are we willing to be used by God? And there's never an age either where we retire from following God and serving God. There's always an opportunity for God to work in our life and for us to allow God the glory that's due His name through our life. So again, just as Joshua has the grace of God to go on, you and I also have the grace of God to go on in our life, no matter what age we're at, no matter what stage of life we're in. But the question is, do we want to? Do we want to? And it will show in our life. And we know individually if we want to or not. So I want to